Greetings and thank you for joining Being Curious. We are here, Brian and Kelly.
Hi, guys.
And we're on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We are so blessed beyond belief. We've got Linda Minnick with us today. So Linda Minnick is a certified life coach, Psych K health and wellness facilitator, motivational speaker, author, certified sales trainer, and entrepreneur. She has been involved in coaching and training for over 30 years and has presented trainings and programs on national stages across the country. I'm excited. How about you, Kelly?
I'm totally excited because not only is Linda just all those amazing things, she is a friend of the Edge community, which I'm super excited to share. And I also had my first Psych K session with her last week. So I'm also excited to let that unfold today. And just so many fun things today. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kelly, do you think we should ask Linda the first question?
Yep.
Are you going to do it or am I going to
do it?
Nope,
I think you got it. You're on a roll. So, by the way, Brian's in studio today. We were super excited. He flew in to be a part of this show. Linda, rock on.
We're having so much fun.
We are having so much fun, and we're kind of yinging and yanning it. So, as we find our beautiful flow with the new show. So, Linda, Brian, go for it.
So, Linda, we want to get to know you as a person. We understand the extraordinary career you've had. But what's really important to us here on the Being Curious show is allowing our audience to see more of who you are. We can't wait for you to bless us with all your extraordinary talent and gifts. But we want to start with just being a little bit curious about who is Linda. So how did Linda get curious about taking the path that you took in life?
Cool. Well, one of the things I have to say that I like about who I've become is where I came from. I'm just a normal person. I was born and raised in a blue-collar family in South St. Louis in the Midwest. I'm number 9 out of 11. You know, I was just raised with, you know, all the same Catholic upbringing and things. And so I don't have any extraordinary stories of, you know, and degrees. I'm just a normal person who has, through life experiences, been able to recognize how extraordinary not only am I, but everyone else is as a human being, that we are divine within ourselves. I mean, that was not something that, you know, I was taught as I got a popsicle from the local store in South St. Louis. It's not something we discussed in South St. Louis. So it's been an extraordinary life because I've been able to not only learn these things about myself and others, that now I have the opportunity to share what I learned with others and not say you have to go get a doctorate to do this stuff. You just have to be open.
Mm. You know, Linda, you said something really interesting that I want to highlight for our audience, and that's that you said something very subtle, which was one of the things I like best about myself.
Yeah.
How many people talk about what they like best about themselves? So talk about what was like that first thing that you clued into, like, hey, I've got some talent there, or hey, I just did something that I really appreciated. Talk about what that was like.
Well, the very first, I have to say I was really, believe it or not, some people would never believe this, but I was really shy as a kid. To the point that if any adult would talk to me that wasn't related to me, I'd hide behind my father's legs. And so I was always, that was the one thing he would always say, Linda, you got to get over this. So the very first time I recognized I was stepping into my own, I was actually, and this may sound funny, but I was actually in a sales job, and my boss told me I intimidated her. And I was like, yes, I really have some power that, you know, that I'm not this shy little kid anymore. But as far as on the metaphysical, I always knew things. I always knew I wouldn't call it an invisible friend because I knew it was just part of who I was that I was talking to. But during all of this, I mean, I would know things that people wouldn't know. And I thought everybody had this gift. I didn't think I was special until one day somebody said, no, that's, I don't know this. So it was a learning experience that all built up into recognizing that I wasn't like the other 10 kids in my family or the other 100 kids on the block, that I was different and that it was okay to be different. So that's kind of where it all started.
Linda, what's it like to be in a large family? I think we should do a show on interviewing people with a large family, because I married into a large Catholic family on both sides. So my mother-in-law's oldest of 11 and my father-in-law's oldest of 10. And not only it's interesting the dynamics of where you are in such a large family, because I know I hear the discussions of that, of being the oldest, and that when you're the oldest, you're probably having kids while your mom's still having kids. I know my husband has an uncle that's like 3 months older than him. And it's just, there's just this interesting dynamic. So you said that you knew you weren't the same as the other 10. Tell me more about that.
Well, I don't know. There was just, my mother and I used to have this connection. We could just look at each other. And we knew what each other were thinking. And as I existed in this large family, she would say or do something that would surprise the rest of them. And it's like, why don't you get this? And also, I'm the only Virgo out of the 9 of them. So I was innately a little bossy.
Right.
But just the fact that... I chose to, I always looked at things differently, you know, and I always knew there was more to what was being told. And my guess is the other ones also did that, but they never voiced it. They, you know, we were brought up in a blue collar. You get a job, you do, you know, you've got these frameworks that you work within, and they're all very successful and they've all done very well, but none of them have gotten a little weird as I've gotten, you know. They're all still pretty Midwestern, good old Midwestern people that stick with the norm. I mean, you know.
So Linda, diving into getting weird, I think what you meant by, or not what you meant by that, but like what I understood by that was you went into being in service to people.
Well, yeah, my whole family's in service. First of all, I come from service stock, but I went in service in a different way than they did. And what I meant by weird was I had different thoughts. I would come from a very long line of Catholics, and I would always ask questions. Why do you do that? And the question was, well, because. And none of the rest of them really asked those questions. Or, you know, I just had a different outlook with people. And I, like I said, I knew things, you know, I mean, I would be able to anticipate things. Like I'd be coming home with my brother or sister from being in the park or whatever. And I'd say, something's up at home. We were the three little ones. I was the oldest of the three little ones. And it's like, something's up at home. We might want to hang out in the backyard for a little bit. And sure enough, something was going on in the house that we really didn't want to get. And it's like, I don't know, we'll just listen to Linda. Well, you know, we'll just kind of duck under the trees until she says it's clear. And so that just kind of developed. I mean, I remember the first time my sister asked me if I'd ever, you know, you don't know any psychics, do you? And I said, I've got a whole Rolodex of psychics. It's like it was just that they're very loving and kind, but going outside the third dimension was not something that they ever really spoke about, much less experienced. An example being, we just lost a brother, and I had lots of relatives who were no longer physically with us visit me. And my sister had a dream with my grandmother, and she says, I know, this happens to you all the time. This does not happen to me. So, you know, they've come to accept me for who I am. but it was always a little more than just three-dimensional for me.
But are they starting to get a little curious with you? I just kind of have this feeling that they might have their, and I'm not trying to be just cliche with the curious, but I kind of get that if your sister is, hey, do you have any psychics? And you're like, okay, hold on, let me go get my black book. Yeah. What kind of psychic do you want? Do you want an animal communicator? Do you want this? Do you want, right? How are they open to discuss this with you right now, or is it still just kind of not brought up?
It's not that it's taboo. It's just, it's not anything that they venture into. You know, when she said, do you know a psychic? It wasn't like, I need a psychic. Do you know one? It was more like, you don't know a psychic,
got
do you?
It.
Yeah, yeah, I got
totally different tone there, Linda.
Yeah, you don't know a psychic, do you? I mean, you know, it's. I mean, we were brought up Catholic, so all of this stuff was taboo. I mean, so the fact that our parents were so open-minded leaves them open. But, you know, we have some. I have some really. The rest of us all have our own characteristics. Let's put it that way. So we love and accept each other for who it is. But they're not attending any of my metaphysical classes, let's just put it that way. You know, they're not, you know, they think life is what life is, and you deal with it.
So, Linda, you mentioned one of your first gifts that you started to appreciate early on was this, let's say, boss aspect, stepping out and really being in an empowered position. So how did that develop into what ultimately has become your career?
Well, it was, you know, and I won't say that was the first time my bossiness showed up. I mean, it showed up at the house all the time. I mean, there's no doubt Linda had the biggest mouth and pushed her brothers and sisters around. That's not a problem. But it was the first time in my professional career that I recognized that it was all right for me to be who I was. And to voice whatever I needed to voice, and to be strong and stand in that. You know, that was way before I really started looking into everything else. It was just, you know, I was brought up that a woman, you know, you get a job as a teacher or a nun, which wasn't going to happen, or a nurse or a secretary or something like that. And here I was outside selling. You know, so I was doing something that wasn't necessarily, I was selling office equipment, and it wasn't necessarily a woman's world at that time. And so to be told, and it was another woman, to have another woman tell me, you intimidate me, made me feel stronger in a man's world. It gave me strength, and it made me realize, not only as a woman, as we, you know, as we sit here, but as an individual, that I don't have to stay within the framework of what people think I need to be.
I'm just seeing the movie 9 to 5. I'm completely, I just think that would be just, I just get that's you. And just like this, of that time and that age. And yes, to be a woman in sales, office furniture, that's a hustle. Like, right?
Oh, yeah. I wish I had a dollar for every door I ever knocked on. I wouldn't be having to do anything for the rest of my life.
I see that you could cold call with the best of them, and that's a hard skill. I've 17 years in sales, and that was never my strength. I was about relationships, and once the door is open, I mean, just like, hand it to Kelly. It's all good. But to be able to be a fierce cold caller, and I can just see you just going for it, like just boom, 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 boom.
Well, I like to eat.
That's good too.
What a basic motivation, but a very important one.
I like to eat. And when you don't, you know, if you don't get, and it's my business now, if you don't sell anything, you don't get any money. You don't get any money, you don't eat. So
I had an entrepreneur tell me that as an entrepreneur running your own business, you only can eat what you kill. And I sat there and I was like, oh gosh, that's a little, he's spot on. There's no one there that's behind you. Right?
No.
It's
you're
you.
It. You're it.
And it's
When I started my business, I thought I would be dealing mostly with sales. I really wanted to get into it for salespeople because I love selling. Originally, I was a sales coach and trainer, and no one was teaching us what was going on between the ears. And these people are making their living between what's going on between the ears. So I thought I was going to be working with salespeople, and I ended up working with entrepreneurs.
That's fantastic.
Love that.
Well, you guys, we are already at are ready to go for our next segment. We're going to take a really quick commercial break. This is Kelly, publisher of Edge Magazine, edgemagazine.net, with my dearest co-host, Brian Mariani, and we are with Linda Minnick today. Till then, AM 950. We'll see you soon.
See you soon. Welcome back to Being Curious with Brian and Kelly. We are here with Linda Minnick. We have already got the show rocking. We're starting to learn about Linda. We're starting to hear about her boss mentality and her stepping into her greatness. And I know we're, well, I'm really intrigued because I know that you've literally worked kind of hand in hand and from some of the greatest minds and leaders literally on the planet. So for those in our audience that are looking to maybe take a similar path, maybe give us an idea of what it was like to learn from, you know, people like Wayne Dyer and other great ones, and then how you took that work and made it your own.
But wait a sec. I mean, we got like Zig Ziglar, Bob Proctor, Mary Morrissey. I mean, like, You've studied under like the all stars. I mean, that's fantastic. Like, good for you.
You can just add Mike Dooley. I just got certified in one of Mike Dooley Tut. You know Tut.
Yeah.
One of his classes. So it starts with, we all get this longing, right? We all know there's something else. For me, it actually started, well, Zig Ziglar. I mean, just Zig Ziglar. Then what can you say about Zig Ziglar?
But
that
was in the,
yeah.
Don't sign up for that class.
But he of course came when I was learning how to sell. But there was a lot of people information. There was a lot. It's a lot deeper than a lot of people thought. But when things start speaking with you, you start listening to these people and you start searching them out. And so when the opportunities came, I jumped on them. You know, I mean, I started listening to Dyer when he started putting out tape decks. I won't tell you how much money I have in cassette tapes behind me. I can't ever get rid of my 2003 car because it's the last car in the world with a tape deck in it. But so then opportunities would come to take classes or to work under these people. And when I say working, most of these were classes that I worked with and we did events together. And it's like, yeah. And I was just thinking the other day that when I saw The Secret, I didn't know any of those people. I mean, I knew of some of them, but I had never met any of them. And now I've met the majority of them. And if you had told me that 20 years ago when it came out, I would have thought you were smoking something. It's like, how's that going to happen? You know, and it was psych, and now even with Psych-K, I get to work with Dr. Bruce Lipton. I mean, we've been in sessions together and classes together, and it just goes to tell you that nothing is impossible. And so when you look for these people, just listen to the ones that really speak to your soul, that take you to somewhere good. There's a lot of people out there that want to control you. These people never wanted to control me. So make sure it's someone that speaks to your soul, but still gives you the freedom to take their information and go with it wherever you need to go to.
What's something that you felt as a thread that you heard as like an overarching theme? So you're with Zig Ziglar and you hear X and you go to the training, and then you're with Wayne Dyer and you hear the training, and all of the different people that you've collaborated with. What is kind of that thread that you're kind of like you pick out and you're like, Oh, yeah. And it's threaded throughout all of their conversations, their energy, their frequency, their teachings, all of that.
Being happy is my responsibility.
Wow.
I can't put that on anybody but me. And that I have a choice. It's responsibility and choice. You have a choice in how you want to live your life. You have a choice how on the steps you want to take, what you want to do each. And you can't blame anybody else. Because it's your choice, whether you know it or not. What? It comes up to the subconscious.
Well, and Linda, that's exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah.
So there's most people learn their first language through an audible experience.
Correct.
They literally learn this language that we're speaking now or the thousands of other languages through an audio resource and the environment that that's in.
Correct.
Now, why would that change with everything in life? I think people lose that basic concept that they have the responsibility to create the language that steers their life. So maybe give us, I know you have a lot to say on this and you can probably dive into a lot more specifics and details. How important is the language that we speak when it comes to our life?
Well, it's important for two things. When you're literally talking language, one, if you actually listen to yourself, you can hear what you really believe. I'm not smart. I don't have that. I don't have the talent. I don't have. We hear ourselves saying this. But the other part of that language is our language is a reflection of our emotion, which is energy. And so what we speak is energetically putting into the universe what we're expecting back. So not only is it important to listen to what you're saying because it tells you what you really think, you are predicting your future by putting those words into the universe because that's what the universe is going to bring you back.
So what happens, Linda, when you're giving... when you're putting the right fuel in your car, like let's say you start telling yourself that you're great, that you're smart. What literally happens in the mind, body, spirit when that happens?
Well, you start to believe it.
I just saw like this huge declaring. Like by saying this, you are like declaring it, saying,
exactly.
I am this.
That's right. You're claiming it for yourself. And what happens is when you have a belief, when you have a really deep belief, when you have a knowing, not even a belief, but a knowing. I mean, when you walk into a room and you flip a switch, you know that light's going to go on. So the light goes on. Well, when you have a knowing that you are whatever you say you are, you act from that because your subconscious supports you in that. And our subconscious, if you can have a picture of a dripping faucet, a dripping faucet's your conscious mind. Niagara Falls is your subconscious mind. There are over 10 million thoughts that go through our head. And so when those thoughts are congruent with that belief, you make decisions to go along with that. So when you say, I'm smart or I am good, you put that out there, you make decisions, and then things that are congruent with that energy show up. When you say, I deserve to have a good life, good things come into your life. I deserve to be healthy, then you're healthy. I deserve to be loved, then love shows in your life. Because that's what you believe, and that's where you're vibrating. That's the energy you're putting out. That's the vibration you're putting out. And as Einstein and every scientist has ever proven to us, like attracts like. And so that's where it's coming from. And so it's like your radio station. If you think that if happiness is at AM this station and you're vibrating at AM that station, there's no congruency. You're not going to get AM 950 if you're on AM 630. So you have to vibrate at AM 950. You have to tune in to 950 to get 950. It's the same thing with life. And what we don't understand, which is one of the things I want people to understand, is we do this all the time, whether we're cognizant of it or not. we don't just have to concentrate on the good. Our words bring in the bad. Our words bring in the challenging. I mean, if you go to work thinking, I'm going to have a really, much language, I'm going to have a really bad day, and that's what you expect, you're going to trip over your waste can. The boss is going to give you a hard time. You're going to spill your coffee on that report you just did. That's what you're going to bring into your life. If you go into work saying, this is going to be a killer day, everything's going to go right. Everything will go right.
Sorry, I'm just erupting in because I just am like, so you are trained in Reiki, in inner speak, 7 Ray. You are a Ho'oponopono. Oh, like, love that. We'll do a show on that one. What led you to Psych-K?
Well, after I spent 2 years getting my certification for life coaching, I started working with people, and certain things that we would apply the principles that we learn, certain things in their lives would change, but certain things wouldn't change. Well, I only had them for this much time, and I wanted to make sure they got out as much as I wanted, as they wanted. I wanted them to walk away happy. And not only that, being a Virgo, I'm very impatient. I want things now. So I went looking for something because I knew it was a subconscious belief systems, and all I had is what I call mind control, which is affirmations and, you know, physically stopping and rephrasing things. And that works. That does work, but it takes time. I was too impatient. So I looked at a lot of things, and a long story short, Psych-K showed up as it normally does. You won't see it advertised a lot of places. It just kind of shows up when you need it. I had a situation going on in my business that I couldn't find an answer for. I had a Psych-K session. 30 days later, that situation was gone. And I thought, this is what I need. What I love about it, it's quick, it's easy, it changes those subconscious thoughts. It's been proven by Johns Hopkins, and the client controls the whole thing. So that's how it got me there, and I'm totally in love with it, as you can't. Not that you can tell that, but.
So, Linda, what is it like now for someone to work with you? So you've had this incredible career. You've learned all these skills, from cold knocking on people's doors to working with some of the greats like Wayne Dyer and Zig Ziglar and the like. So what happens when people show up now in your life? They're a client of yours. What's the package? What's the comprehensive tool belt that you're operating with?
Well, one of the things that I bring to the table is all of those experiences. I mean, it's, people laugh when you say you learn a lot growing up in a family of 11 or you're in sales. But you learn about all kinds of different people. And so I know that what you need is different than what Kelly needs. And you might be saying the same words, but luckily, between the way you say them and intuitively, I can help determine what you're really looking for. So what people get, hopefully what people get is a package of intuition and common sense and tools, because we have all kinds of tools, plus encouragement. That's my whole thing. What I say a lot of times is I specialize in transformational thought, because when you leave me, I want you to feel more empowered than you were when we were working together, before you showed up. I want you to know the divine that's within you and the power that you have within yourself to create the life you want.
I love it.
That's what they get.
I love it, Linda. And you said something interesting earlier, and I want to express the energy behind it. You said, you talked about sales, but it was such a pure energy that you came in with it. It wasn't anything negative. It wasn't like tactical or manipulation. It was like, no. If you want to be in business, like, you better get that sales thing. You better get that right.
Yeah.
So talk about what it means to be a transformational leader and to teach people to, I'm just going to say, like, holistic sales, or like, what would you call it? Like, what do you teach people in that area?
You know, it's, my definition of sales is being of service. And what it is helping people understand the service you have to provide them. And anyone, whether you own a business or you're sitting here, the two of you, whoever, needs to be able to communicate that. So when you're in the business of anything, people can't interact with you, can't purchase from you unless you help them understand what we used to call their pain points. When you help them understand where they have a challenge and how your product or service can be of benefit to you. And a lot of people say, well, that's so salesy. But when you think of the people, and this is what really I have to remember myself, because sometimes I can get really salesy. I mean, again, being taught in the 70s and 80s, I can do that, but I don't want to. But it's when you recognize that there are people out there that need whatever it is that you're selling, and if you don't go out and tell them about it, who are you doing a disservice to? If you know you can be of help, I mean, when Kelly knows that the information she brings out to people helps make their life better, who is she not to do that? If she knows she's got it, if you know that helping putting on this radio program is going to reach somebody and possibly make a difference, what gives you the right not to do that?
That is fantastic.
Beautiful.
So you closed this segment out in just such a beautiful way. Hey, everybody, we are here with Linda Minnick, and we're going to take a really quick little break on AM 950. Kelly, publisher at edgemagazine.net, Brian, No Shift Own, and we're here again with Linda and more to come. Hello, beautiful ones. We are back. It is Kelly and Brian being curious. Today's guest is Linda Minnick, lindaminnick.com. She is a professional development coach, Psych K facilitator. Say that 10 times really, really, really fast. A professional speaker and author. We were wrapping up our last segment, and Linda just has so much to share. What I want to kick this one off is, Linda, the subconscious mind is so powerful. You were talking about Niagara Falls. You were talking about like drips here and there. How do people, on a fundamental way, change their subconscious beliefs? Let's just like jump right into that. Like, come on, just go for it.
Well, there are ways to do that. A lot of people do it through affirmations, and I call it mind control, but not in a bad way. It's just that you have to be committed to catching yourself when you're thinking things that you shouldn't think, or you're doing things that you shouldn't do. So that's one of the ways. A lot of people, there are lots of different programs out there. There's hypnosis, there's tapping, there's all kinds of things. Of course, my particular process of choice is Psych-K. And what's so important is so many people think that don't recognize how much control the subconscious has over our life. And so we do things and we think things that we think are our thoughts, and they're not. If you've ever been in a relationship or have a kid and you open your mouth and your mom or dad comes out of your mouth and you swore you would never say that, that's subconscious programming. I go to Kroger. I've been going to Kroger since I was 10. I'll go into Publix and I feel like I'm cheating on Kroger. And that's because Kroger was the grocery store of my mother's choice. So it's like, I mean, I like Kroger, so that's not a problem. But there are lots of things that we'll do that we think, it's like when we decide we're going to go on an exercise program and we don't do it. Even though we know it's good for us, we don't do it. It's because there's something stopping us. So hitting that subconscious is really important. It's an important thing. I mean, we love our subconscious, but sometimes it can be limiting. So the reason I like Psych-K again is because it's quick, it's easy, and it's it's just amazing the changes that once you change that subconscious, you start making different choices. An example being if you hated chocolate ice cream, but you really wanted to like chocolate ice cream, whether you use Psyche or whatever, if you can change that thought, the next time you go into an ice cream store, you can go, oh, I'll have chocolate ice cream. And your brain doesn't go, oh, look at that. You change your subconscious thought. You just change it. So if you're in a situation where you don't think you could do something, or you don't deserve to be loved, and you change that, all of a sudden you feel you feel like, oh yeah, I deserve to be loved. Don't treat me like that. I deserve to be loved. And you don't put up with that kind of stuff anymore. And so it's important that the importance is right now in 2022, this is year. We have no more time. We have to get ourselves together. This is the year of energy. It's opening up. The world needs us to be at our best. I used to think I was selfish trying to be happy. Now I realize it's my responsibility to be vibrating at my highest level that I can. Because if I'm vibrating at a higher level, then those that are in my circle of influence will be affected by that. So doing what you can to improve yourself, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, is imperative right now. We got to do it.
So Linda, I really appreciate that invitation, as I'm sure our communities do. But I want to dive in on a potential, I think a question that might be happening in the mind of the audience right now, which is, okay, Linda, I've tried. I've done X for X amount of time. I went to the seminar. I got the program. I did this, but it didn't work out, and I'm still having that issue. So what would you provide our audience with in regards to, I don't want to say like not giving up, but what are some of the tools that you put in place to not just sustain success, but actually create longevity for it?
Can I jump in on this just because I think this is like a really good one before you answer, because I had a session last week and I had never experienced Psyche before. And Linda was going to be a guest on the show. And she's like, Kelly, let's just share an hour. And we picked two pretty big topics in my life, right? We'll be honest. And with those topics, those are some topics that I know I've been working on with other practitioners, other practices, books, techniques. Oh my goodness, little of this, little of that. And I have to say my mindset from that session, and you know, you're sitting with Linda and you're crossing your arms and you're doing this tap and then you're crossing your legs and like, what do I do here and there? And it sounds so funny and so simple. My mindset has changed in the last week on those two topics, and I'm being extremely present and extremely mindful. And it's almost like this Psyche session rewired some of my thoughts and my thinking, and topics that, again, I've been dealing with for years, they've shifted, they've changed. Now, is everything done? And I'm like, woo, we're ready to go. Nope, but we shifted gears. And I just want to explain that to the audience. It's so hard to describe, and I want Linda to describe it, but I just am shocked with just 45 minutes, 55 minutes that we shared together, going with some really, really simple techniques. I'm grateful, and I really want to let you know that and let the audience know that.
Well, you did all the work. I just facilitate. So, but Brian, to get back to your question, we've all been in those situations at some point in our lives, and I'm sure as I'm going forward, I will still find those situations. When you're doing something over and over and over again and nothing is changing, even if you don't find something, the question you need to ask is why? Why? And then when you get that answer, say why. And when you get that answer, say why. And eventually you may get down to the real core issue. So many people will contact me and say, I need to work on X. Let's say money. I need to work on money. And they think that, you know, they're doing something wrong with their investments, or they're not allowing themselves to make so much money. But what it comes down to is something else. It has nothing to do with money at all. It might have to do with deserving. It might have to do with seeing that their parents didn't have anything, so it might be guilt. But if one of the things you can do is just, if you can get yourself quiet and not let your brain go, ask yourself, like, do I deserve to have money? And if, you know, you'll get answers, your subconscious will answer you, and that gives you a clue. And if you can't find that answer on your own, I strongly suggest you find somebody that can help you, because they can help guide you through something that'll take you long, too much time. I mean, why take 5 years to find an answer to one question if you can get an answer right away and move on? And I'd love to be of help with that. I mean, I love to do.
Linda, I mean, the data is so abundantly clear on that. Like you're saying, hey, go find some people that have some mastery around that and just get with them. And the bigger picture of that is, we know fundamentally through too much research to even go through that you are a reflection of the people you hang out with most. There's no argument there. No one has a silly opinion on that. It's one of those things that's like, okay, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. It's like, yeah, we can all pretty much agree on that, right? Except for some weird outlier. I wanted to dive in a little deeper on kind of what you're speaking to, because I had this thought as you were talking about it. It was like, you were like, so ask why again, ask why again, ask why again. I think what I got from you was like, you're getting to know yourself better every time you do that. And I feel like the better you get to know yourself, the more likely you are to make the next best decision. And what I was thinking about was like, well, if you want to pursue like health or exercise, like drop down and do a push-up. I mean, what's more basic than that? Like, or do a crunch and then do it again and then do it again. And you'll start to discover something and build some confidence, right?
Well, yeah, but what if your conscious mind is saying, get down and do that crunch, get down and do that crunch, and your subconscious mind is saying, we're not going to do that. Nah. Or I'll do it tomorrow. That's the challenge. Why are you going to do it tomorrow? And, you know, I was currently working with a woman who is challenged with her weight. And she's doing the crunches. She's watching her weight. She's not losing anything, and she doesn't understand why. So as we dug into it, it turned out that her challenge is she's been called on to move forward to become a speaker, and she doesn't want to stand in front of people. So she won't do it until she loses her weight. She's not going to lose her weight because she's afraid to stand in front of people. You see that cycle? So that's why your thoughts, even though consciously you know you're supposed to do this, subconsciously you won't, because the subconscious is keeping you safe. And it will do everything in its power. And let me tell you, it's powerful. It's going to do everything in your power to stop you from moving outside that programming. And we're programmed from conception. From conception to seven, we're nothing but an open program, and we put everything in there. And lots of times the subconscious we're working with is a seven-year-old kid. I don't know how many times I've worked with clients who have gone from being raised in a regular religious family to spiritual, and they say, oh, I've done all that. It's like, no, you're mad at God. I don't believe that. It's like, let's test this. Because the seven-year-old believed in God. The seven-year-old was told this. The seven-year-old was told by their uncle that they'll never be anything. So that's where the thought is. So sometimes we can work as much as we want consciously. We don't even know there's a subconscious belief that's stopping us from doing things. But if we have a conscious belief system that tells us you can't possibly do this, it doesn't make any difference what you're going to do.
Well, it was interesting during my session. I know there was a couple statements that we made, and I was like, oh, of course I got it. And you were like, nope, that's weak. And I'm like, no, like, really? And you have to go through it, like, right? I mean, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And you don't necessarily need to dig up the past, but if the past is what's holding you still, then sometimes we have to broach it.
Well, and Linda, I think we're at a place where we've really – We've geared up to a lot of enlightening, energetic conversation. And I'm sure the audience is going, how do I work with Linda? Like, get me on a Zoom, get me on the phone. I mean, I'm ready. Sign me up. When's my session, Kelly? Are we good on the calendar?
Because I got to get in. You got to get on it. Like, it's all good. I mean, seriously, what we experienced in an hour, I was just absolutely shocked. And I'm a girl that's, you know, here, there, and everywhere, working on a lot of the spaces. So, Linda, how does someone connect with you?
So, if you can go to my website, lindaminnick.com, there's both a link. If you just want a phone call, if you want a discovery call, let's talk about what's going on in your life. See if I can, you know, if I can support you in that, that's fine. If not, maybe I can just give you some information. So there's a free discovery call, but there's also links to sign up. If you're ready to jump in and do some psyche or coaching, there's a link to my calendar. And for everyone listening, I'm offering a $50 off my single session. It's normally $175, and I'll offer it to you for $125. But you have to put the word edge in the notes at the bottom so I know where you're coming from. But, you know, my quest is to support as many people as possible, because you guys are doing out there doing wonderful work, and I want to make sure that you're at your best.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. You've been not just inspiring, but you've provided fundamentals, I think, for people to actually carry forward, even from our, you know, short time with you today. So for our audience, being in the time that we're in right now, what would you give as like your gift, like your nugget of gold for people to walk away from this conversation with?
Be grateful and have faith.
That is so powerful.
No. Yeah.
So everybody,
be grateful and have faith.
To find Linda, it's lindaminnick.com. She's on LinkedIn. She's on Facebook. She's on Instagram. Again, anybody that's interested in experiencing a Psych K offer, introductory offer package, reaching out to Linda. Session's normally $175 for the Edge and AM 950 community, $50 off. She's a lady to connect with, even to have just an introductory call, just to say, here's where I'm at, here's what I've been doing. What a gift. And we are so blessed that you're on today. Today, we want to thank you, and just thank you for being you. It's Kelly. It's Brian, being curious on AM 950. We are grateful for you, and we're so excited for all the people that we're going to be bringing in, our thought leaders, our community here, there, and everywhere. Thank you, and mahalo.
In gratitude.